All right. Yeah. 317, Carton Show with Big Mac. Happy to have a good buddy of mine and one of the top NFL insiders in the business. Jordan Schultz joining us right now. It's just apropos, great day for you to stop by and say hi. First off, how are you? Good to see you.
I'm doing great. Great to be on.
Yeah, it's great. Let's get into the stuff that just happened. You had it on online as well. Mike Tomlin, we just read his statement publicly, has a step down from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Are you hearing that the plan for him right now is a full year away from football? Yeah. What do you got?
I would say the expectation for Mike Tomlin is that he takes a year off and potentially does television, which he, I think, would be great at. The difference with John Harbaugh is John Harbaugh wants to go right now. There's no break. The other part, too, and this is a key caveat that someone explained to me, Mike Tomlin was not fired.
Right.
He voluntarily stepped down. And the reason that's so important, Greg, is that should he come back to coaching, the Steelers would still have his rights.
Yeah.
And the best
quarterback. Be careful because you're muddying the waters.
I am.
Right now.
You are. You're muddying the waters a year prematurely. That's all I said.
But the reason that matters is the Sean Payton example. Sean Payton obviously leaves the NFL. He comes back to the Saints. They trade him to the Broncos. That same situation could feasibly happen with the Steelers.
Again, I'm not going to remember that today, because I think the New York Jets are the team, selfishly speaking, one more year of Aaron Glenn. And I know the Jets are committed. Aaron Glenn's coming back whether fans want him or not. They draft a quarterback, number two. They're not going to be a great team next year, maybe a little bit better, as Aaron Glenn gets a year under his belt. And then Mike Tomlin, in theory, would be available to do the exact same thing that Sean Payton did in Denver. Come back, make a boatload of dough, have a second-year quarterback that, knock on wood, you got right. And all of a sudden, you bring in a really competent coach to lead the way with a young stud quarterback.
And the Jets picking second overall this year, conceivably, could get Dante Moore. We'll see if he goes back to school. But the other part, too, is if Mike Tomlin does come back, Greg, there's no question he is at or near the top of the list, every list.
And by the way, that would scare me as a Jet fan because the Dallas Cowboys then come into play. Every team that's got an opening comes into play. You guys are right about
There's nine jobs right now, though, and this has been far and away the wackiest coaching cycle. But the fact that you have essentially a third of the league open is wild.
What are all these coaches seeing that Big Mac and I don't see about Atlanta? Why is Atlanta suddenly...
Yeah.
I know it was Belichick last year, and they passed on him. Okay, fine. But what is it about Atlanta? I don't think they have a quarterback that makes everyone saying that's a really good spot, even for Harbaugh, who talked to them on the phone.
I think the best job is Baltimore and Pittsburgh
now. I agree.
Those are the best jobs.
No quarterback in Pitt, though.
No quarterback, but great franchise, historic. They're very patient, and that's the key word with Atlanta. Arthur Blank, although not so much with Raheem Morris, traditionally very patient. And Matt Ryan, too, is considered, okay, you're going to be very collaborative with him. They're going to hire a GM as well. But also, you're going to be able to pick your own staff, and they have a ton of tools. A lot of these rosters with these teams are not very good. Tennessee, awful roster. They have a quarterback, awful roster. Vegas, Arizona, terrible rosters. You look at Atlanta, they're loaded on both sides of the ball. So that is a big part of it as well. It's not the best, but it's certainly near the top.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, no. So you mentioned Pittsburgh. Obviously, a lot made last night about Aaron Rodgers. Do you think him stepping away here indicates what we kind of figured already? Aaron Rodgers won't be back with Pittsburgh?
Does
he step away even if Rodgers is coming back?
I think either way.
Okay.
Yeah, but I also believe that there is a strong sentiment that Aaron Rodgers won't be back at 42 years old. Mm-hmm. And I would be really surprised if Rodgers is back, but I also think after 19 seasons, similarly to what happened in Baltimore with John Harbaugh, they basically won the same number of games, 190, 180, both won a Super Bowl. Sometimes a fresh voice is needed.
Right.
And from a coaching standpoint.
If he didn't step away today, do you think there was going to be a mutual? How did Pittsburgh feel about this? Obviously, in the statement, you know, they said what they said, but could you have seen like a separating of ways even if Tomlin wasn't ready to step away?
I don't believe that there was ever going to be a scenario where Mike Tomlin was fired, at least not right now. Three coaches in basically six decades.
Right.
I don't think, if anything, the way they would have worded it would have been, this is completely mutual. The way it is worded now, which is voluntarily, makes it sound like Tomlin had all the leverage. I'm not 100% sure if that's the case, but there was no scenario in my mind in which Mike Tomlin was getting fired. That was never going
to
happen.
Talking to Jordan Schultz, what's the YouTube channel, the name of it again?
Yeah, Schultz Report, check it out.
Schultz Report, definitely check it out. Also does a very cool show with Draymond Green about football, which is actually a very fun, entertaining watch as well. All right, let me get to the low-hanging fruit. Every Giant fan listening right now knows that John Harbaugh is expected to be here tomorrow into Thursday, so maybe a day and a half with the New York Giants. Chris Mara went down to see him prior to this whole thing blowing up publicly the way it has, and I give the Giants credit for that, trying to get ahead of all your competition. Give us the latest on John Harbaugh and from your sources where he is in specifics to the New York Giants.
So I've said basically from the beginning that John Harbaugh and the Giants was the perfect marriage, or as good as it gets in terms of what the Giants would be looking for and what John Harbaugh is looking for. The issue is that you don't have a clean slate. You have a head coaching available and no GM available. And here's the reason I'm not super worried about that is because I don't believe, based on what I've been told, that there's a prerequisite for John Harbaugh to say, I have to pick my GM. This is not that situation. He wants a lot of say over personnel, but he's not going to say, I can't work with Joe Shane. They have been ultra aggressive. Chris Mara, you mentioned Joe Shane, who's basically leading the charge. The other part, and this is probably the most important part, is John Harbaugh's only going to go to a place where he believes he can win with a quarterback.
Right.
And Jackson Dart is someone he liked a lot coming out of the draft. With all that in mind, I'm not willing to say that the Giants is definitively where he's going to go, but that's what the Giants want. And I think Harbaugh is very open and excited about the idea of coming to New York and being with a
Temple
franchise. So what
team, obviously, I'm a fan of Cam Ward. He had a tough rookie season. I can put a lot of the blame on the coaching there and the personnel in Tennessee. What other franchise today do you think is the Giants' biggest competition for John Harbaugh?
I'm going to give you the dark horse, Tennessee.
Mm. So it is Tennessee.
I think Tennessee is a major
cap.
Dark horse.
They got $100 million cap room.
$100 million in the cap.
Good GM.
Really good GM from Kansas City.
New stadium,
and Cam Ward.
Mm-hmm.
Who, by the way, the last month of the season looked like a bona fide top 10 guy.
Yeah,
he was great.
Figured it out a little bit.
And they didn't have anything around him. By and large,
that's
that was the worst
team.
Roster in the league. So you have all of that together, and I mentioned the GM, Borgonzi. He is really well-liked, and a few people have said to me, I love the situation in Tennessee because I think I can work there and have the freedom to not only build my own staff, but work collaboratively with the GM.
Let me stop there and ask you a question. If you're a guy, John Harbaugh, and I can make the argument, probably should have won more, with the talent he's had there, but he does have the one Super Bowl. Do you think John Harbaugh is willing to go to a team that still represents a bit more of a project where you're not winning a Super Bowl in year one, my opinion, maybe not yours? I'm saying the Giants seems to be the best fit from a talent standpoint and a team that could turn around last year's four-win season
to win nine or ten games
and at least be alive for a wild card.
Yeah.
I don't think that happens in year one with Tennessee, especially in a division that suddenly got pretty good. So is a guy that's been in the league as head coach for 18 years going to go to a situation where he's not going to win in year one?
I think two things. John Harbaugh has the confidence and the brand equity to go to a place like that and not feel the pressure to win year one or even year two. So that's not a deterrent to me. The deterrent is that the Giants are a tenfold franchise. I mean, it's the New York Giants. It doesn't get any more substantial than that.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying
1986,
that.
1986, it was great.
Yeah, 1986. Yeah. This isn't Lawrence Taylor. This isn't.
I feel like I'm outside myself watching what I've been doing for the last 2 days.
But I believe, the Giants are the favorite.
Like I said, they are
the favorite. But Tennessee is very much in play. I think Atlanta's in play. You know, he's had conversations with the Raiders and Cardinals. To me, those are non-starters. I know Miami likes him. They don't have a quarterback either. You know, Tua's not going to be there next year.
And their cap situation is a mess.
It's a complete mess. You're going to have a massive cap hit from Tua. So I would look at Tennessee, Atlanta, and the Giants. And I mentioned Tennessee as the dark horse. I haven't really seen them mentioned a lot, but to me, that is quietly a really good fit.
All right, let me give this talk to Jordan Schultz. Schultz Report on YouTube, great watch. And they definitely check it out. So here's the question. You had the report, and no one else had it earlier today, that Brian Daboll, who a lot of people have linked to the Raiders, that Tom Brady might want to bring Brian Flores in, head coach on the defense. Brian runs the offense. They're going to have Mendoza, most likely, as their rookie quarterback. But you had a report today that Tennessee now, again, going back to Cam Ward, what is Brian Daboll known for? Building young quarterbacks into greatness. Josh Allen, that's why he loved Jackson Dart, obviously. That he is going to be interviewed in Tennessee.
On Friday.
How much do they really like him?
They like him. The other thing, too, with Tennessee is they're going to interview basically 20, 22 seems guys. Like, a lot of dudes. Yeah. Which is kind of what you want to do when you're awful. You want
a fishing expedition.
Yeah. But the other thing, too, with Daboll is even if he doesn't get a head coaching job, he's going to be very much in play for as many as three potentially
legit
OC jobs.
Oh, okay, OC.
OC jobs.
It,
yeah. And so you mentioned Vegas. Obviously, that's one. Tennessee, potentially. There's a scenario in which Tennessee looks at a Daboll or even a Matt Nagy and says, you know what, you're not the head coach, but come be our OC, come call plays.
You mentioned
Flores?
Yes.
Flores is now suddenly a big name to watch in Pittsburgh. He was there. Mm-hmm. There's connections there. He has the right temperament, I think, for that franchise.
Tomlin did it. Tomlin was defensive coordinator for a year in Minnesota before he got the Pittsburgh job.
Yeah.
Flores says, I think, even though with that lawsuit that's still pending, I guess.
He's still suing the NFL.
Right.
But that wouldn't, to me, stop Pittsburgh from hiring him. He also interviewed in Baltimore.
Got it. But I think Baltimore is the best job available.
It is the best job.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about Mike McDaniel. It seemed like Mike McDaniel got the dreaded ownership blessing and then sat down with Stephen Ross, and I guess that dinner just did not go well. I've actually been told that Stephen Ross got up and left the dinner in the middle of it, that they were eating at Prime 112, a very famous place in Miami.
Well, that's where I, not to blow my own horn, but that's where I broke the T. Higgins and Jamar Chase.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Love that restaurant.
Yeah, it's great. Great desserts.
Yeah, Prime Italian right across the street.
Yeah, it's great.
So I was told that Steve Ross walked out of the meeting with Mike McDaniel, and then fired him the next day. Not confirmed, that's just what I was told. Is Mike McDaniel a candidate, other than offensive coordinator somewhere, is he getting some love as a head coach?
He is, including Tennessee. We mentioned they're interviewing a ton. He is tomorrow, I believe, in Tennessee. So McDaniel is, I would be shocked if he's not at least an offensive coordinator.
Okay.
And I'd say there's a legit chance, there's a real shot he gets another head coaching opportunity. Mike McDaniel, to me, best serve as a coordinator. Mm-hmm. I think that's where he excels. Not saying he's a bad head coach, but his best talents as a coordinator. So he's going to get looks. And right now the league is very much in vogue with offensive coaches. That's what, if you look at the last several years of Super Bowl, it's offensive coaches by and large. So that is very much to his benefit. You know, Harbaugh, special teams coach.
That's a rarity.
It's a rarity, and he has the 20-year track record.
Yeah, he's been a head coach for so long, it's almost like it doesn't even matter what he did before. Yeah. Same thing with Tomlin, really.
Talking to Jordan Schultz here, I was talking to Robert Saleh before the playoff win against Philly. I know he's getting a lot of love now, too, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
He has with not a lot of talent, to be fair, and not the greatest tackling team, but Robert Saleh's proven again, great defensive coordinator. I know he's happy in San Francisco. Is he going to get some looks as a head coach?
Saleh is very motivated to be a head coach.
Yes, he is.
Very motivated.
I think he should wait another year personally, and
because,
I've told him that.
Yeah.
I think you want another year removed from the stink that was the Jets, another year to prove that you are, by a lot of accounts, one of, if not the best defensive coordinator in football. And then I think you could pick where you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you have a lot of leverage, certainly, but with nine jobs, there's only 32 of these things.
Right.
True.
And he's a second-time guy. You know, it's very rare to be a third-time head coach. Mike McCarthy is trying to do it. Mm-hmm. It's not easy to go for a second time. And you mentioned the Jets obviously didn't end well. But I'll say this. I think Saleh, even though he's a defensive coach and we just talked about offense, from a defensive standpoint and his leadership qualities and just how much he wants to be a head coach, I think there's a real shot that he's got, I think, two or three interviews. I want to say three. I have to look at it. He's not a favorite for me, but he is absolutely
in the mix.
Yeah,
definitely in the mix.
You know, so is Vance Joseph, another one. I could see him with Arizona. Stefanski's another one that I think Atlanta's been mentioned to me a lot.
Right.
So, you know, you have to... There's certain links, and you just try to find them, but it doesn't always work out.
Doesn't a guy like Stefanski get tired of being with a bad program? Like, he's a two-time Coach of the Year winner. He's obviously a brilliant football mind, and he just got stuck in the mud in Cleveland. If you're a guy like him, don't you want to at least go to a team that you could say, I've got a legitimate quarterback, I might need to fix five other things, but at least I've got a quarterback, like if you're a Kevin Stefanski?
I just got news there that Kevin Petullo has been fired, the Eagles offensive coordinator.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Everyone saw that coming.
Yeah, that was an obvious one.
You think Sirianni survives?
I do, yes. Mm-hmm. I do think Sirianni survives. I would say that Sirianni, to get fired a year after winning a Super Bowl, is I don't even know if that's ever happened.
Doug Peterson.
That was two years.
It was two. Okay, all right. Same franchise, though.
I think Sirianni is safe. I do. You mentioned one before. I was
Stefanski.
Stefanski.
Because Giant fans feel like Stefanski.
He was the guy before Harbaugh. Yes. Everyone wanted.
And you think he's the second choice for the New York Giants?
I do. And I thought he was the favorite before the Harbaugh news. But I still think Atlanta is the favorite for him. Stefanski's interesting because he's supposed to be, and I think a lot of people would say he's an offensive guru. He's really good with quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. He also has a very penalized team, and the product on the field the last couple of years was awful. So there was a little bit of a, are we sure he's the guy? But given the success and that track record, two-time coach of the year.
Right.
And
in Cleveland.
Cleveland, I think he gets the benefit of the doubt.
As we're talking about like second choices here, when free agency, and this is kind of like free agency with these coaches, do you wait for Harbaugh to make the move? Like, is that going to be the first hire? Because we talk about whether the Giants are the best job, the Ravens are the best job, then you get the Atlanta Falcons. Like, once Harbaugh goes, do you see coaches start to make a move there, or do coaches start to line up where they believe is a good match for them and Harbaugh is not, you know, on the forefront of their mind?
No, I believe that Harbaugh will be the first head coach hired.
Right.
I think that's the first one to come. And the way the system is set up is to have it be slow. The NFL wants this thing to drag on. You're not even allowed to interview a lot of these
guys.
They
like the attention.
You know, yeah, they want the attention.
Continued attention.
Yeah, and so to me, Harbaugh is the first domino to fall, and then I think others will happen, but not necessarily right away.
Right.
I think the way it's set up is very much so to have this thing play out over the next month or few weeks.
Do you think there's any way the Giants are so amazing in their pitch to him tomorrow and Thursday that Harbaugh signs on the dotted line this week?
It would surprise me. It wouldn't shock me. I think it's possible. I mean, he's going to want, let's say, $20 million somewhere. Right. And the
money's the money. The money, I don't think, dissuades him from doing it.
So
it's a personnel decision.
If they have a great meeting,
right,
and they say it's possible.
Well, I said they should cater it. I said you go, you know, three-tier oyster platter.
Yeah,
yeah, Carbone's overrated for my money.
It is overrated,
$60 for rigatoni.
They got to do lasagna.
I don't need a 90-year-old guy in a tuxedo making me Caesar salad either. I'm done with that. Yeah. It's good. I just don't need to watch you make it.
Yeah.
I said you got to cater that.
There is a scenario in which things go so well.
Yeah.
That they say that Harbaugh says, okay, let's do it. I'm just not expecting that.
And you just mentioned personnel decisions. Sorry.
Yeah.
There is a world where Joe Shane recognizes he would have to change his role in the organization, right? If that's one of the things, he's willing to work with him, but he wants final say of roster construction. That's something Joe Shane's willing to swallow.
I think Joe Shane continues to be and has been in massive job preservation mode.
Yeah.
And if John Harbaugh comes and he says, I'm willing to work with Joe, but I want final say or a lot of say over this personnel, which he will, then Joe's going to have to acquiesce, and I would expect him to do so. There's no reason for him to say, I'm not going to do that. This is John Harbaugh. All due respect to Joe Shane, but one's a Hall of Famer, one's not.
Right.
Well, I saw a report from a guy who, I guess, covers the Ravens or claims to cover the Ravens, that Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh weren't on speaking terms for a month or better.
I saw that. I don't know if that's a fact.
Yeah,
I don't know if
that's
a fact.
That would seem weird to me. Mm-hmm. And the story that came out that I personally don't accept is that there's no way, in my opinion, I could obviously be wrong on this, I cannot see a world in where Lamar Jackson was sleeping in meetings. He just doesn't seem to be that kind of kid.
No, I don't believe that at all.
Video games till 3 in the morning, guilty as charged. He's admitted he likes to play video games. As we've talked about, I'd rather my quarterback be immature and play video games.
And go out.
I still play them, then be clubbing or doing stupid things.
Yeah.
But I cannot see a world in where Lamar Jackson was sleeping in a meeting. I just can't.
I completely agree. And I'll tell you that as much as there was this discourse or reported discourse between Harbaugh and Jackson, certainly something wasn't right. I don't believe that at all.
All right. So I'm not crazy.
No, I don't believe that at all.
I know we're going around the league pretty quick here. Dolphins get rid of, obviously, Mike McDaniel. Got rid of Greer before him, who was a horrendous general manager.
One of the worst.
Yeah, especially if you're a Dolphin
really
fan.
Bad.
Like, now we're talking about, you know, 30, or how many years without a playoff win? Long time, 25 years.
Yeah,
I think 2000 might have been their last playoff win. I've not heard the Dolphins. Like, I've heard the Titans and Falcons mentioned more than the Dolphins as a destination for all the top coaches.
Yeah, the Dolphins is an interesting job in the sense that you have a very patient owner. They've been he was extraordinarily patient with Chris Greer. I thought he was very patient with Mike McDaniel. But you also have a cap hell situation incoming with Tua. And the roster isn't very good. It's not awful, but it's not very good. And so, to me, it's an enticing job because of the city, because of the fact that the fan base is not expected to have you win right away. But it's not the upper tier. It's somewhere in the middle. It's a better job than Arizona and Vegas. I mentioned yesterday, I reported that they're going to interview Calvin Shepard from the Lions, the defensive coordinator. The reason I'm bringing that up, not even so much about Calvin, but because they are trying to do something they haven't done, which is go through every possible stone. So it wouldn't surprise me if the Dolphins took a similar approach as the Titans, 15, 20 guys, let's bring them in and let's really evaluate. It also wouldn't surprise me if the Dolphins maybe even hired someone that could be considered a year away because – you know, I'm not going to say that, you know, Jesse Minter's a year away.
Right.
Because I think he's
in the Giants are going to interview him also.
You know, he's got one with eight.
He does,
by the way, including Baltimore where he was. But it's that type of young up. Maybe it's a Shieldhouse from the Rams. It's a young up and coming potential coach, which they have with Mike McDaniel, who maybe you don't, if you wait a year, you don't get him. So I expect Miami to be very deliberate. But yeah, it's an interesting job.
So obviously we all watched Dante Moore spit the bit in the semifinal game last week. And I think he did tremendous damage to not that he's going to be drafted or not, but where he gets drafted. I know they just brought in Dylan Raiola, the kid from Nebraska, to be to quarterback in Oregon. So to me, they're telling him, they're expecting Dante to go pro. But now that you've brought in a new starting quarterback, if Dante decides after that performance – I can't go pro. I think he transfers out of Oregon. But every Jet fan, is what I'm getting at, was watching that game going, son of a gun, that's our next quarterback.
Yeah.
And he looked terrible against, albeit 24-year-old men playing for Indiana. That's what you're going to get in the NFL. So where is Dante Moore at right now?
Okay, so I thought before that game, he was pretty locked in to go too.
As did I.
He played a terrible game. He really did. But there is a sentiment that he goes back to school and gets this sort of de facto lifetime contract from Phil Knight in Oregon. I don't see the
even with Raiola going there.
But that's the point. I don't. If you're Dante Moore and you go back to school, don't you want to stay at Oregon? What's the point? He already was at UCLA, and you're at Oregon now, which is arguably it's one of the
great. Though.
Yeah, I mean, so there is, from what I understand, he's kept it very private internally about what he wants to do. I don't know, have an answer of what he's going to do. I can tell you that what transpired on the field did not help his draft stock. And there's a sentiment coming in that Mendoza was the most ready and that Moore was really close. That was like before the game. I think that gap's been.
I agree. And I was talking to some people today that were like, a lot of teams have soured now because of that performance. Because the one thing about Indiana, talking about college football, is that quite famously, the average age of the kid in Indiana is in their 20s.
Right.
They're not playing high school kids.
Yeah.
So he's playing grown men. And I know it's just one bad game, one bad example, but he did himself a disservice in the manner he played.
It's also not a great quarterback class. You know, it's just
which would lend him to come out more so.
Right. And then next year,
Arch.
You have Arch and Julian Sayin, and there's a few
guys. A bunch.
So if he gets $12 million in the portal or whatever it is, you know, you can understand him wanting to move.
No, I got you. 2034 is the next Super Bowl that is not currently attached to a network. All right, we're network connected from now through 2033. The reason I'm asking you this question is if you had a guess, and I know there's no way to have inside.
Yeah,
this.
I don't have. This is not my lane.
If you're a guessing man, is there a chance 2034? Is the first Super Bowl on a streaming service and not on a network?
Oh, I, No inside knowledge whatsoever.
Yes,
but
I know.
My answer was yes. I think there is a chance.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I think 2034, Netflix, YouTube, you name it, writes a very, very big check.
Well, they're already paying an insane amount of money right now. They all are. And just to get one game.
I heard you were going to Amazon.
No, Amazon for me.
That's what I heard. I heard they got their eyes on you for some future broadcasts.
Okay. Listen, I appreciate it. You know, Craig, in another life, maybe you were my agent. And you were C-Max as well.
I try
Apparently.
To be. Is there anything else I didn't know or we didn't ask you about that
top of mind
that's cooking?
We powered through it in a major way. That was awesome. That was awesome.
I appreciate the insight. Obviously, if you hear anything, give us a shout.
I appreciate you.
Check out Schultz Report on YouTube every day. Also, if you like Draymond Green, want him talking about football.
Or if you don't like him.
Or if you hate him. It's actually interesting hearing him talk about football.
Yeah.
It's an interesting watch. He really is.
He's a massive Steelers fan. So we just talked. And he was really, really upset. One note is I appreciate the plug. Congratulations to you guys as well. Very, very cool.
Yeah. Well, he's well deserving of it.
Yeah.
And just to update you, the news, breaking news, the Eagles have fired Kevin Petullo. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just real quick, the reason that's a bigger deal than just any coordinator being fired, that's Nick Sirianni's best friend.
Yeah.
All right. That's why he got the job. They are now going to be on their fourth offensive coordinator in 4 years, right?
It is. It's actually incredible. I just.
Because he was Steichler before that. He went to Indiana.
Yeah, hold on. Then, I have it right here.
You have it?
I have it right here. It was
Kellen Moore.
Yeah, I have it.
Am I missing a guy? I got to be missing one guy.
I have it.
Steichen, Johnson, Moore, Petullo. Four offensive coordinators in 4 years.
Yeah. And Jalen Hurts, play caller since 2016. Kellen Moore, Brian Johnson.
Two.
Steichen, Peterson.
Three, four.
And then obviously go back to college, Lincoln Riley, and Daboll.
It's crazy.
Is
A.J. Brown tradable with that contract or no?
He was not tradable at all during the season. There is definitely a world in which he's traded in the offseason.
And would I be silly to think that a reunion with Vrabel would make sense next year?
You know what? That's not bad.
You can take
that's
that one.
I'm gonna take it.
Take that one. Yeah. Just make it yours.
Yeah.
And if I ever call you, just say thanks.
Yeah. Okay, I will.
Good seeing you.
Thank you guys.
Appreciate
Jordan
Schultz, everybody. One of the best. Take a quick break and get back to your phone calls. 888-808-1019. It's the Carton Show with Big Mac on the Fan.